You're listening to the Ebenezer Podcast. On this podcast, we are remembering how God has helped us. And so on this pod, you're going to hear from Giorgio and Eric and myself, Justin, as well as different people, a part of Redeemer Church, Winston-Salem, as we testify to the ways God has helped us, as we wrestle with the story of God and the story of us. Thanks for listening. We're back. We have not recorded in over the holidays, and today we are, Giorgio and I are here, and we are talking about the new sermon series called Ebenezer, and we're glad to be here today. So, what's up, G?
What's up? I'm really glad to be here, and talking about story, and how we orient towards our own stories into the story and life of God as it's revealed in Scripture and in revealed in our lives. I'm super excited about.
So we kicked off the series talking about this idea of Ebenezer, both as the stone or the rock of remembrance, but essentially thus far God has helped me, and that's kind of going to be the central kind of theme throughout this thing. But when we originally started talking about doing something like this, our goal, maybe you could speak to our goal as far as like what we were after.
Actually we were, the three of us were away, talking about how we wanted to orient towards the new year. We've done so much work on like building scaffolding and like creating foundations or not even creating, just like building up foundations so that they're secure. And what we were most drawn to was the idea of the Redeemer has a story. Each of us have a story. And that we need a way to talk about that, mm-hmm. that aligns with Scripture. And so we started talking a lot about like telling his story and our stories together,
yep.
And how life works together.
Yeah, with the hope being that we would experience some level as a church and personally for renewal. But I like the way that you said that, is that the story of God, the story in some sense of Redeemer, we don't make too much of a big deal about that, but it's the story of Redeemer and the story of us. And so out of that, this vision kind of series was born. I, you know, thought about Ebenezer as kind of like a good foundational piece to that. So, you know, we talked about that in week one. We talked about the story of Israel, especially after the judges, before the kings, and how the prophets, the priests of Israel had become corrupt, and then God brings Samuel,
right.
And they experience all this defeat and use God in different ways. And eventually they come to a place where God helps them, where they repent in a sense and God helps them. And then Samuel erects the stone, but kind of the centerpiece of that is we tell that story is the true story of Israel.
Right.
It doesn't like hide back from all of that's the part of it. It's all their failures and the ways they mishandled God, misunderstood God. And yet God has remained and still continues to help them. That grace is kind of central to that. And they erect a stone to remember.
That's right.
The whole story.
Right.
Right. Not just like a piece,
not just the
victory,
not just the victory.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's the whole thing, which is also beautiful that it's rocks and solid, and you know, 20 years later, you walk by it and see it again,
right?
Which I think is really important for us to name and put create a monument, and physical is absolutely fine, but. Mm-hmm. When Amanda's little brothers graduated from high school, I gave each of them a brick, mm-hmm. which was an Ebenezer,
mm-hmm.
For their you know, it's just like you have this, you've accomplished this, the mm-hmm. Lord has been kind to you. So I do think that there are either mental or like when my grandmother died, my dad planted a tree in her honor. Mm-hmm. You can go to Queenswood Drive in Burke, Virginia right now. That tree is probably still there. I haven't been there in a bit, but you know,
yeah.
There's something right about that.
Yeah.
You know, that there's just like, okay, this is something that is an act of remembrance mm-hmm. of God's kindness to us.
Yeah. We, Brian and I used to be, I mean, we did a thing in Albuquerque called Men at the Cross. But one of the things they did at the retreat, that we do all these processes.
Oh gosh.
Like one of the processes, one of my elders was like, he took a tennis racket and like just like beat down a pillow, you know, and there was symbolic like representation
right.
You know, if you're passive and your experience kind of like for him as a man, as a human being, was passivity, it was like to try to unleash something in him that was not passive,
right.
We did a bunch of stuff like that. I had a bunch of guys like hold the thing that I discovered in that retreat was like internal expectations were like weighing me down. And that from that, a lot of my false self was being born from those internal expectations. And so they did this process for me where they had a whole bunch of guys like get on my, like hold me down.
Oh, wow.
And I had to like break free. And they had a guy representing Jesus that I was running to.
Nice.
And so it's like stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's weird, and but other awesome. Things. Yeah. Weird,
like,
but awesome.
Weird,
yeah,
like yeah. embodied practices.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the things that they did at the end was they give you a rock mm-hmm. and they ask you to write on that rock all the things that are the true self pieces mm-hmm. of yourself.
That's good.
As a rock of remembrance absolutely. To live out of the true self and not the false self. And so, yeah, I think those things are like, value. We don't do that necessarily, you know, a lot, but we all try to set up places of remembrance of different parts of our story.
Yeah, and that instinct is right.
And that is.
That it's right. It's a right instinct to say, okay, thus far, the Lord has been with us.
So essentially that's what we're trying to do in this series. Like, so kind of like part of this podcast is kind of like to dialogue about or to riff about some of this stuff, but you know, we want to allow story to be a rock of remembrance for Redeemer in our current moment.
Yeah.
But also to like launch us into the future, into the, you know, the coming moments as we also remember the past of what God's done. And so that first kind of sermon series is kind of setting the foundation of that reality as a vision. Like, will we as Redeemer be these people that, one, remember that we set up something to help us remember, and will that launch us into the, you know, this year?
Right. Based on that faithfulness of God over mm-hmm. time. That, yeah, and that we know those stories or know stories that, I mean, I was in a hand-in-hand ministry meeting Tuesday or Wednesday, and the story of how we got this building. People were curious about it for our newcomers. People who'd been there for a while was fine, but it was like, oh yeah, we were the third highest bid on this place. But because we weren't going to redevelop it into a different kind of space, that we're going to keep the building as it is, the school board gave it to us, and the entire a neighborhood association wanted that to happen. And we were probably, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but we were significantly lower than the top bid. And I only say that because the story of what this was as a school and what this was for the neighborhood then got aligned with, which preceded Redeemer, then got aligned to Redeemer's story and God's story through Redeemer in a place. Like, that's that's an important narratival arc. We still, not so much as much anymore, but we still have people come by and want to and want to go walk through the school because they went to elementary school here. Mm. My office is in the old music room. It's just a really interesting, like, how God uses all this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and we want to try to name and narrate that to the glory of God and to our encouragement. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful thing to think narratively about God's work. We don't know the end, like how the story, we know how the ultimate story ends, but we don't know what all the chapters look like in between. But it's good to name the curvature of the story along the way.
Yeah. So part of like, so what we did in the Soft Difference pod, if you listened, was like, we riffed a lot about, the sermon and outworking of it, and like how, you know, big part of this is just trying to like continue the conversation, you know, for Redeemer, and thinking about what God might be doing through these things. But, you know, for this podcast, this, you know, this little 6 or 7 week window, we're doing some different things, as part of that, what you just described, right? Like, telling the story, telling your story. So we are planning on having, you know, podcasts ongoing with different people from yeah. Redeemer with different aspects of a story to tell, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think one of the emphases for us is that you all have a story to tell. Everybody has some level of a story, but what's really important to remember about telling that story is, well, one, that the story is an invitation. So any stories we tell here are an invitation into life with God together as a community.
Yeah.
And invitation to you, like, to understand your story, you know, as you hear someone else's.
Right.
Like, it's an invitation to, like, internalize someone else's story, not to compare or compete.
Right, right, right.
But to be...
Curate, as you said.
Yeah,
in the
to curate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is to internalize it and to try to, one, have empathy, understanding, mm-hmm. But also to, like, imagine, like, it's a big word you use a lot around here, which I appreciate a lot. It's like, how do we form people's imaginations?
Right.
And we inform people's imaginations through story.
Absolutely.
So the invitation is to have your imaginations formed through someone else's story, right?
Yeah.
That not only is the story an invitation, but it's also it's an Ebenezer. It's a
right.
It's a testimony. It's a witness to God. Thus far, God has helped. And the key is thus far,
right?
Like, because what you said, we don't know what's next or what the future holds, but that what we're wanting to do in this is invite people in to tell the story, so that they can say thus far. But all those stories are one imperfect and always unfinished.
Right.
So if you have a story, you may not think you have a story to tell because you haven't arrived. I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
And no story.
Yeah.
On this side of consummation is an arrival story.
No.
Right?
And if someone tells you, don't believe them.
Right.
Right.
Because oftentimes, and maybe you can speak to this, G, because at least for me, when someone shared their testimony at church growing up, it was always an arrival story.
Yeah.
Like,
always victory, always arrival, always God answered it in the exact ways or even better ways than I imagined.
Right. It's a theology of glory versus theology of cross, mm-hmm. which is, you know, very Lutheran, but also I think very Christian in mm-hmm. that sense that, and as Americans, you know, and evangelicals, whether we want to claim, we want to claim that term or not, that is a very much in our DNA, a theology of glory.
Oh, absolutely. And and especially in the American idea of, like, everything works, everything gets better, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. It's a both Western and then particularly American kind of view of the world. And it's, I don't know how Islam does that or how the Chinese government does that. It feels like very similar in some ways, but I just don't know it well enough to speak of that. But definitely that, yeah, All we do is win, win, win.
All we do is win, no matter what.
So I mean, that's just not the gospel,
right? And so when we talk and share about these stories, that's, you know, they're not arrival stories, and we don't know what the future is. But thus far, they are Ebenezer's too. Thus far, God has helped us, and so that's what this is. This kind of, it won't be like this forever, but this is how it's going to be for the next little segment, and we want to develop that. We want people to share their stories. We want you at Redeemer to hear people's stories of thus far God has helped.
All right. So now I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was so beautiful about your last sermon, which was rich and full, and I've listened to it, well, twice on Sunday and then again today, and I started listening to it again. And I talked to a congregant. I was like, I'm going to have to listen to that a couple more times. And I was like, yes. First of all, I think there should probably, you should probably create a little booklet about it and figure out how we can have that as like a doctrine of the fall so that people can like access it differently. We hadn't talked about this. I just sprung that on him. But the other thing is what I thought was so important about it was the reasons why we don't tell our stories, the lack of safety and spaces for things, the internal shame and the false storytelling we do to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like we don't even want to admit that it wasn't the woman you gave me or the serpent that was here. So I'd love for you to riff on, like, since we're talking about stories and listening to stories and trying to figure out how to tell our stories in places that can be, that would be welcome. I'd love for you to riff a little bit about like the not just the fracture that we exist in, but the covering that we that impedes our ability to trust our Lord and another in our storytelling, because it is real. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I experience it every single day. Like to be known and loved, to be known is super scary. To be loved is actually kind of scary too, but it's also what we long for greatly. And so, yeah, riff on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the ground of that is our anthropology, right? So because of the alienation that we've experienced due to sin, we feel like we have to cover up, right? It's funny because a lot of these things are like a lot of, this is like working together like a puzzle for me as I'm also doing this parenting class.
Right.
You know, the heartbeat of, I think, good Christian parenting is connection and safety. But who's doing that?
Right.
Alienated.
Right. If you're all alienated.
Yeah. Parents who have not necessarily always experienced that and don't experience it now. Again, the fall permeates.
Right.
That doesn't mean we don't do good and can't do good. And like the core part of the story is we were created good and it's not good for us to be alone. That's the one not good thing. And the fall then has also like ramshackled that in some ways where like goodness is still there and exists, but it's harder for us to access it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, your point about safety, a lot of the reasons we don't, like we can't unveil who we are, the true self that we are in Jesus, the Jesus in us, is because we are afraid,
right?
And we don't feel secure, and people hurt us, and
like legitimately hurt us,
And we feel all of that in our bodies, not just in our minds. We feel it in our bodies, and so. It's a challenge, and it's just so much easier to be false.
Yeah, to curate.
Curate your identity and who you are first with yourself. Like
yeah, that's keep on riffing.
Right.
I'm the self. Like even being honest with myself is so difficult at times.
Yeah, so like we tell ourselves a story,
right?
And we do that based on our experiences and our stimuli and our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you re-narrate yourself?
Mm-hmm.
right? And the gospel truly is meant to be something that re-narrates who you are.
Amen.
You are beloved. You are not just beloved, but you are capable because mm-hmm. of the Spirit for good and beautiful things. You, mm-hmm. you aren't a worm.
Right.
Right, right. There's something about our Reformed theology that tries to get at something that's true.
Right, right.
Like, because of the fall, we are alienated to the degree that, it, you know, on our own abilities, we can't do ultimate good because we don't, we aren't attuned to God, and
right, right.
We do things for our own glory, and that's true. But at the same time, the new man Jesus,
right,
by the Spirit, we actually can
like have real capacity,
right?
Like, and, which is. Feel scary and wonderful
right.
at the same time.
And that goodness flows from the good root that
right.
we've gotten in Christ. So we have to re-narrate ourselves around that,
yeah, yeah.
those realities, right? And so, and then we have to, we engage with other people
right.
who also hopefully are on this journey of re-narrating stories to themselves.
Right.
But when we bump up against each other, we tell, you know, we feel this pressure from, again, learned experience, our bodies, all the things, that I can't possibly say this.
Right.
Acknowledge this.
Be exposed in this way.
Exposed in this way. Yeah, or even get into it. Right?
Right.
Like,
I squirrel.
Somebody says to you, like, hey, how you doing? Like, and you're sitting there going, man, I am not doing great.
Right.
And that question then becomes, you know, there's dynamics, interpersonal communication dynamics. Is this the appropriate time to talk about this?
Right.
All that's at play in our minds. But it's also like, oh, can I actually say that I'm not fine?
Right.
It's really hard then. It's going to take time then. That's going to take time on them and me.
Right, 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 right.
So it's just easier, bro.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to talk about the things that inflate. Or, like, if you're in a really dark place, it's just easier to talk about the things that deflate, right?
Right, absolutely.
Both are false selves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like everything is awful all the
right,
time
right.
or everything is great all the time.
Right.
No, none of that's true.
And so, like, this is where this is the challenge. Like,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, we... We are in curation space, and because if we don't feel safe with someone else, like
yeah.
it makes it very tough. Or if we know that person can't really connect with us,
right? They're not in the place that they could
right.
hear that. Yeah, yeah. They're not even asking the question that you want to answer.
Right. And one of the things about this is, I think, like when we would do this, because we had some groups at our church in Albuquerque that went through this stuff on the reg, like talking about false mm-hmm. selves and. One of the ways that we tried to help people enter into those spaces was things like check-ins,
mm-hmm.
like where they were intentional spaces to say, this is how I'm showing up.
Yeah.
Like trying to be honest, just in one word or
yeah,
two
yeah.
words, this is how I'm showing up. And then we would then in turn with them, like say, all things are welcome here. Right, wherever you're at in an emotional space that you show up in the space right now, it's welcome here, and we would say bless you.
Yeah, no, this, y'all, Justin's implemented this in our session meetings, and it literally takes 3 minutes to go around the room, and it's just this reminder that we all show up in a place that is with all our story, and just name it and. We don't do like group counseling afterward. We just like
right.
we just say where we are, and everybody's like, maybe they'll grab lunch with somebody afterward or whatever. But it's not the time to deal with it. It's the time to acknowledge it.
Right. It's an attempt to be vulnerable, to have exposure,
right,
and also to like create in that safety to be exposed, and we then encourage with the words "bless you." And then if in the groups, what we would do is when someone would share something, you know, every human story is one person's story is every human story.
Yeah.
That was something we said a lot. So when somebody said something that you could empathize with, the guys would raise their hand and go,
right.
Yeah, right, I'm with you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Anybody else feel that? Yes, I feel that. To kind of bring this sense of belonging.
Right, right, right.
That we all share stories. We all share this propensity to curate our existence. And when someone says, this is how I tend to do it, the brothers in the room, sisters in the room that would share that would say, yes, me, us,
oh, yeah,
I do
me
that
too.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. It's the just acknowledgement of you're not alone in your story.
You're not alone in your story, and we all share struggles of being false with one another.
Yeah,
The hard part about this, the hard word in this is that as we live falsely, we cannot truly be known or know God. Mm. Like, now, obviously, there's this like big macro thing. God loves us, knows us as we are, right? But it's like what he does in the garden to Adam and Eve, and he says, hey, where are you? It wasn't for his benefit, yeah. It was for their benefit.
Right.
Like, their relationship with God was broken because of their, like, hiding.
Right.
And
not even just their sin, but they're hiding
right.
after their sin.
Right.
Like, it's like, I was like, well, what was, look over there, God, you know what I mean? He's like, right. Where are you? And he's like, yeah, I love it. I know it's, I always, in my mind, I always go, is the Proto-Evangelion, the declaration, in 3:15, mm-hmm. or is it him showing up and walking right. in the garden? That's right. The incarnational one.
Right.
Proto-Evangelion means the first gospel, so it is declared. So I still hold to 3:15 being it. But grace, you actually hinted at this in your sermon, is that grace was preceded all of that because mm-hmm. he showed up mm-hmm. and asked them where they were, which is like an act of intimacy. Which is also why this idea that God can't be with sin is a ridiculous, I only heard it in evangelical circles. I didn't hear it in my Catholic upbringing. But that's a ridiculous, ridiculous statement. It's literally the entire Bible is that he shows up with sinful people.
Always.
Always does it, consistently and obnoxiously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it couldn't be more false. Mm-hmm. I think it's trying to like figure out some judiciary, like, purity thing, which I get, but mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They break covenant. They create the fall of humankind, and God shows up.
Mm-hmm. So if our anthropology says to us that we're experts at creating false versions of ourselves to relate to God and others and to ourselves, then the gospel says, I give you a new humanity.
Amen.
A new self to live out of. Now, here's the struggle. The struggle is, and this is what I talked about in our life group leader meeting last night, is that it's weekend at Bernie's every day for us because we are dragging along the dead man.
Yeah, absolutely.
With us.
Yeah.
And the question on the day to day is, will I live as my, and I'm going to talk about redemption of the you know, the false, you know, redemption of how does God redeem us as false selves that we are mm-hmm. on Sunday, but and that's again to restore us,
right? Right. Like,
but we have the choice: are we going to live out of Bernie?
Mm-hmm.
Or out of the dead self.
Oh yeah. Man, this is Romans too, by right. the way. This is right. like all of it. I do want to say this, like, for those of you who might be concerned about like story and it sounds too psychologized, the scripture is fundamentally narratival.
Yep.
It is how Jesus our Lord mostly taught.
Mm-hmm.
We in some circles of Christianity have been taught to find verses that give truisms. But that is not how the Bible primarily operates. My Sunday school class is on how to read the Bible when he's mm-hmm. doing parenting. But if a narratival, a story structure is the center of how the Bible works, and I'm not making that up, it's the way it declares itself. And so I just want to say that Yes, there's some popular psychology about all this stuff, but this is a foundational and fundamental way in which the Trinity has revealed itself to the world. This is not like an armchair Neo trying to psychologize the scripture stuff. This is like a fundamental reality of the way our Lord in his kindness has revealed himself.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the gifts that we have in Reformed theology.
Amen.
Is that we can take what's happening in our world from a therapeutic
mm-hmm.
bent and very easily map that onto creation, fall, redemption, consummation.
Right. Like, and that's not using a therapeutic model. It is like informing the reality of where we are from the scriptures.
Right.
There's a very, very different mm-hmm. way to do it. We're not, and you can do this with justice. You can do this with anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all I'm saying is the scripture is more about story. And the story of God's kindness and love and grace and justice in the world. And we can embrace that with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That then allows us to risk our own storytelling
mm-hmm.
And how God's story works in our lives and the lives of others around us.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
So as we move forward, like our hope is that, yes, we restory ourselves by the reality of creation, fall, redemption, consummation,
mm-hmm.
and the story of Jesus in Scripture, and that free that we create, we become safer people.
Yeah.
Like, again, if humanity is built for connection and safety, we become safer people so that connection can happen through our stories.
Right.
Like that, we can risk being vulnerable.
Right.
We can raise our hands in empathy when we hear someone else share some level of their story that we also share. We can bless someone however they show up.
Amen.
Whatever their previous narrative and however they might be narratively building themselves now, that they can show up as that.
Amen.
And we can receive that. And that there is redemption, that we learn how, like, God is intending to build it, create a new self in us.
Yeah.
A true self.
And in them.
And in them.
Yeah.
And he uses the community to do so, both through our, like, storytelling, through us confronting the realities of our past story so that we can live in the present moment better,
right,
more whole, with a deeper sense of wholeness because we understand all the stories we've been wrongly listening to.
Right.
In the moment, live like by the true story.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
That's kind of what this is about, as we move forward here, as we are telling people's stories. We'll be interviewing people about their stories so that we can, like, tell the true story. And we'll be talking about that on Sundays as well.
I'm excited and a little scared.
Yeah, man. All right. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah.
Glad you joined us. And we'll see you next time.